This is Tanner from Shadow of the Cabal, and you are listening to the Redemption Podcast. I have altered this podcast. Pray I do not alter it any further. Proud member of the RPG Academy Network.
This is Redemption, an actual play podcast set in the Star Wars role-playing game system, with Chris Berlew as the GM and also the droid R3A1.
So can I fix it now, or improve it?
Kendall Jung as the Twi'lek former Padawan, Karel.
You're going to carry him if you have to go back and get him and lift him over all the rocks.
Michael Waldschlager II as the Duros pilot, Tazi.
Yeah, I'll try not to land it sideways.
And Nathan Robinson as the Nautilin gunner, Kao.
That sounds kind of ominous, if you don't mind me saying.
With special guest, Emily Morgan as Isla. Episode 318, Kao's Big Adventure. With so many things about Isla's past coming to light for Tazi and Karel, in the back of the Kralitz Fang, A1 is about to learn more than he ever expected about Kao.
So while we're flying to Sojourn, Kao gets out of the gunnery pod and he goes into the back of the ship where the medical bay is.
We see A1 kind of working on a little project there. Every now and then he kind of looks up at the door where the rest of the crew is up doing their normal stuff. And Kao, you notice that A1... When you walk in, he doesn't do his usual, you know, hey, Kao. He actually kind of turns his back to you a little bit and kind of starts moving things around a little louder, kind of banging things on the table a bit.
Kao obviously is going to notice a non-emotional droid being emotional. He'll probably, like, walk over to him and maybe, like, put a hand on, like, his dome and be like,
what's wrong, little buddy?
Oh, are you talking to me?
Yeah, of course I'm talking to you. Who else would I talk to?
Well, I mean, you said little buddy. That's Zeke now. You know, your new best friend that gives you massages. And
he's not my new best friend. He's just really good at massages. Are you really upset that I called him little buddy?
Well, yeah. That's what you call me.
Look, it was a spur-of-the-moment situation. It was a little droid. I got into it. I'm sorry. You're the special one to me. You know that.
Sure. If I'm so special, why won't you tell me what happened when you were gone?
Whoa. That's a pretty deep story, A1. I mean, is it like killing and murder and... I didn't even do some of that.
I think I can handle it. I mean... I did watch a video of what I thought was me skinning a Trandoshan.
Fine, alright, fine. You think you can wear the big boy pants? We'll wear the big boy pants. We'll tell you all about it. I won't spare any of the gory details.
Good. And then the camera actually fades out, and when it fades back in, we see A1 watching Kao walk away, but we're back on Junkfort Station, and we see Kao and Hixa actually walking away from the Kralitz Fang. To another landing platform where they see a fire spray class ship, which is Hix's favorite kind of ship. And Hixa just looks over at Kao and motions towards the ship.
We will take my ship. I have the coordinates to where our target is.
You know, you can just call him Shad, you know that, right? It's not like a big secret.
I do not know what you're referring to.
Oh, fine. I'll get on your ship. Obviously, when I go on your ship, I don't have a ship. I'm leaving my friends and family behind. Isn't that special? Stupid droid.
And he just stands there waiting for you to walk onto the ship.
Right.
Kao, obviously, flailing hands, gets onto the ship. Fine.
You get on the ship, and you are escorted down to the cargo area. And a fire spray doesn't have a huge cargo area, but it's got some cargo space. You actually notice sitting down there is a Bothan, who's actually got some binders on, and the binders are actually connected to the side of the ship. And he's just kind of sitting there looking at the floor. And Hixa just looks at you.
You can sit next to him. I will let you know when we are there.
Oh, this will be pleasant. Yeah, great. I get to sit with the Bothan. Great. Super. Thanks, Hixa. You're a real treat.
Kao sits down next to the tied Bothan.
Hixa just leaves and heads towards the cockpit. After a couple minutes, you can hear the engine spooling up. And then you feel the ship take off and head up into space. The Bothan just kind of sits there looking at you. He kind of looks around. So, what'd you do?
It's complicated. I didn't really... Well, I did a lot of things, but it's more along the lines of what I'm going to do.
Is it gambling debts like me?
No. I generally do not gamble.
The Bothan just kind of looks down at the floor. I had such a promising career as a doctor.
Oh, you're a doctor!
I was. Dr. Verand Laurie at your service.
Oh.
Or could have been at your service.
That's really, really sad. How much did you have in gambling debt? I mean, your doctor, you would think you would have enough money to fix that.
I bet on the wrong pod race at 25,000 credits.
Oh, that's a healthy amount of credit. Why would you put a bet on a pod race for 25,000? No, that's fine. You don't have to explain yourself. Vices are vices, you know?
It's the first time I've seen a dog lose.
Oh, yeah, that is always a... That's a dog lost! You don't say!
Yeah.
Seems pretty unusual.
Yeah. Beat by a basilisk.
Really?
Yeah.
That...
I would have thought the size would have been a disadvantage.
You would think that, yeah. You would think, in general, that seems totally and utterly improbable at all. Never would have happened. Shouldn't have ever happened.
I agree. And now I'm supposed to go on this mission with you guys and learn what the price of failure is.
Oh yeah, that's not good, mate, no.
So, does that mean you failed? Or the droid pilots failed?
Little column A, little column B.
Oh. Because I'm supposed to watch you guys and see what a punishment looks like.
Oh, that's not... That sounds kind of ominous, if you don't mind me saying.
I guess.
Oh, although, you know, you could be watching what we do to who we're going to. That makes more sense. Never mind, not that ominous for me.
Where are we going?
That's a really good question. I'm not particularly privy to the details, you know. It's kind of a need-to-know basis, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I heard them mention something about Belgoroth?
Belgoroth.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. Belgoroth. Big planet.
Lots of rocks. Yeah. Lots of rock.
Yep, some rocks. Some geosciences are done on it. Tectonic plates, shifting Richter scales. You know, that sort of thing. Very important work being done here.
Well, what are we doing there? I'm supposed to watch and help, but I don't even know what we're doing.
We're going
to
go look at an old abandoned mine and see how deep mines can go before they cause an entire planet to crumble apart or something. Yeah, that's it.
Am I going to get thrown down this mine?
Possibly. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to.
I don't want to either. So, you know, when it comes to push to shove, it's probably going to you go down that mine. You know?
I just want to help people.
I know. Good. You know, you can help me. If I happen to stub my toe or get shot, you could patch me up.
Okay. I can do that.
Good. You're good with weapon trauma, yeah? Right?
I've never really had to deal with that.
Oh.
I mostly dealt with less serious injuries, more, you know, when people got sick, I would help them with that.
Right, but when you were training to be a doctor, did they cover any situation where maiming may have occurred or, you know, like a gaping gunshot wound? Something along that line, maybe a big slug thrower hole, like if it was in my chest, could you make it so that I wouldn't die? You know, just saying, while we're doing the surveying, if there's like bandits or something, if I get shot a lot, or maybe a rock falls on my leg, or my arm, or my head, you could fix that, right? That's a thing. Like, I mean, I do have some medic abilities. I am a little bit of a surgeon as well. But I mean, doing surgery on yourself is like really hard. Really hard. I've tried it once.
I could try.
Okay, good. All right. Well, you know, you will try. Perfect. I am filled with the utmost confidence. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Great.
You're the first person that's been nice to me since they put me on this ship.
That's because I'm the only one on the ship that doesn't want to kill you.
And with that, he actually just puts his head actually on your lap and just kind of quietly sobs and just, I don't want to die.
Kao is, for once in his life, at a loss for words. He just pats the tiny little Bothan head on his lap, just says nothing, just pats his little head.
Kind of fades to black, and then the ship comes out of hyperspace over the planet. Just out the view screen, or out the window, you can see it is a very rocky, mountainous planet.
So my lie about geological surveys is totally plausible.
It is possible, yes. Yeah. Belgoroth is a very rocky, mountainous terrain. There are some smaller oceans here and there, and there are some small settlements, but it does not look like it's a real populated planet. And Hyksa lands the ship, and he comes back to the cargo hold with a large case in his hand, and he hands it to Kao.
I have brought you the weapon that you will use. You will notice that this blaster rifle, I have modified it. I have put a scope on it, I have extended the barrel, and this is a very superior quality weapon.
Oh, you know, Hyksa, I didn't realize it was our anniversary, and here I am, caught with my pants down, didn't get you a single thing. I am just flabbergasted at the gift that you've given me. This is great. Thank you. I'll have to get you something, like maybe a picture of me, signed by me, in a frame, engraved with, I love you, you stupid droid. Thanks for the gun.
You will also notice that I've put a modification on there. That rifle will not fire until I release it.
Oh, my. It's like you don't trust me, Hyksa. What would I gonna do? Shoot you with it?
Possibly.
It's not like I was going to shoot you with the gun. Okay, that's not true. As soon as I got the gun, I was going to shoot you. But thank you for not making it awkward by me trying to shoot you and not being able to by telling me that the gun has a trigger that will not shoot until you tell me to. So, you know, there's that.
Are you ready to go?
Oh my, you are just great today. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Why not? Are we going to leave with the doctor in here?
He will stay here for now.
Okay, all right. That's fine. Note, I didn't take off his bonds. I mean, see, I'm trying to be a team player.
Hyksa actually walks up to a little screen there and turns on the screen. And you notice that whatever Hyksa is looking at shows up on this screen. And it's right in front of the Bothan. Hyksa just looks at the doctor and says,
You stay. Watch the screen. Learn what happens when you fail us.
Kao turns to the doctor and is like, he's a bit melodramatic, isn't he?
I guess.
You don't speak. It's not a good time. Like, see me? Not Bond. I don't have handcuffs. I'm in a position of a power, as it were. He can't kill me right this second until I do what I'm supposed to do. So right now, I'm mildly indispensable. However, he's going to remember this and try to murder me after I finish my job. Anyways, you know, it's really complicated. Let's just get this party moving, you know? I've already been on the ship for like 4 days. I'm a little crazy. I had nothing but bantha milk and powdered eggs. This is disgusting. I just want to go. I want to get back to my family. I want to be done with you. Doctor, you're all right. A little weird with the laying on my head, your head on my lap. It's fine. And, you know, let's just go. Can we go with the things now? Let's go.
Hyksa just points his arm out the door again and waits for you to go.
Droid of many words, this one, Kao says as he walks by and grabs the case all flamboyantly from Hyksa.
When you get outside, Hyksa picks up a little holo projector and he shows it to you.
This is the path we will have to take. Shad has set up a new base here. We will have to go up on this mountain range here and fire into his new base.
Ugh, that's a really hard shot. Alright. If I miss, what happens?
I make a call, and your friends die.
Alright. Fine. Don't want that. Kind of like, surveys the image of the hologram, like, where the mountains are, and kind of, like, does, like, a real quick check to see, like, how hard is this shot going to be? Just purely based on the hologram, like, how he's looking.
It'll be long range.
Okay.
But the gun he gave you, the superior quality is going to give you a blue die. And then the scope gives you an automatic advantage.
Okay.
Not like you're at extreme range shooting through fog or anything crazy like that. It's just
you're going to
be at long range.
Sure. That's fine. I mean, you know, Kao's got a few tricks up his sleeve. So, all right. Yeah. So Kao just, I guess, follows Hyksa. I assume Hyksa's leading him now.
Actually, Hyksa would look at you, and he wants you to go first.
Again, the not trusting thing. Perfect.
I'll have you make just a group stealth check.
Okay.
Difficulty is going to be a 3.
Here we go. I had 1 success and 1 advantage.
Okay. You guys manage to sneak up into position, and the entire time, Hyksa makes sure that you are always in his field of vision. He never takes his eyes off of you. You get into position, and he points right down, and you see Shad actually took his ship, Tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
He actually landed it here on planet and actually took it apart and built a base out of the ship. You can actually, from your position, looking through the scope, you can very clearly see right into the cockpit, or what used to be the cockpit. He's modified it into kind of like a semi-living space,
like,
or living room.
Pseudo-captain's apartment thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can look in and you can see him. You know, he's the big Faline walking back and forth. And you can see him mouthing words, but you don't see anybody else in the room. You don't see him, like, talking into a communicator. You can kind of get the impression from where you are that he's kind of talking to himself.
So he's crazy.
Oh, yeah, he's got the crazy eyes going on. You know,
right.
He's limping around because his one leg doesn't work quite right. Hyksa just says,
take the shot. We're in position.
Kaelin does the case. He sets it down and he kind of puts the pieces together and he's looking at it and, you know, admiring it from afar, as it were, like, just kind of like, ah, nice gun, you know, that kind of good stuff. He gets it all set up. He lays down on the ground and spreads his leg apart and gets the butt of the gun directly to his shoulder. And you can see him cushion it softly. You can definitely tell he's really used a sniper rifle. The scope's pretty powerful, and he sees a pretty good view of Shad sitting there. And he, once in his life, is very quiet, slow, steady breaths, and he's not really wavering very much, just waiting.
I'm going to flip over one of these dark side points. As Kao is looking through the scope, he kind of almost gets a vision of Corel when she got arrested for murder and how upset she was, and kind of has just that moment of thought kind of going through his head.
Will somebody explain what's going on?
Now is not the time to explain. Let it happen. We are coming with you.
I think it was the whippies we killed. I'm saying that's what I think it is.
Corel just kind of looks at you strange and walks over to the sheriff. It's like,
he steps back.
You want to talk to me? Let's go.
He steps back, which...
Why don't you just
thinking about this 8-foot tall guy stepping 5'3" back Twi'lek. From a 5'3" Twi'lek.
Oh,
he's...
Your captain and I came to an agreement. Let's do this peacefully.
Well, you could just talk to me. I'm right here.
Then Kao hears the click as Hyksa releases the lock on the gun. So while Kao, you're kind of pausing to take the shot as you're kind of having that little contemplation in your own head, you hear Hyksa hit his comm.
He's refusing to take the shot. Send Cantor's brother and the pirates to kill the crew of the Crawlet's Fang.
He looks at you, Kao, and says,
if you take the shot now, we have time to save them. Choice is yours.
Kao is going to try to take a shot.
All right. It's long range, so it's difficulty of 3. The window gives him a black die. He's not wearing any armor or anything.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do true aim again.
All right. So you got a bunch of dice you're going to roll.
That's a failure and 1 advantage.
The shot fires, smashes the glass. Shot hits right next to Shad, who begins looking around real crazy, and you see him run up to what used to be kind of the control panel for the cockpit, and he slams his fist down on a button, and an alarm starts going off, and there's red lights flashing, and Hyksa just looks at you.
He's set to self-destruct. We need to go.
What? There's a self-destruct button on a giant ship base. Who would have a self-destruct button on a what is going on? What is going on, Hyksa?
And you look over, and Shad's actually got 2 heavy blaster pistols in his hand, and he's actually firing out the window, just in random directions.
He's crazy! You had me trying to assassinate a crazy person. That's just low. Really low. But we should go now, because that's going to be a big boom.
Hyksa reaches over, grabs the blaster rifle out of your hand, and just tosses it over his shoulder.
It only had 1 shot in it anyways.
Oh, great. Thanks.
So you're going to be running through the mountains, and as you're running, You see, coming up along the mountains, you see six little Phalenes running up with blasters and stuff. And Hicksa kind of notices them too and looks at Kao.
Looks like Shad's men were out patrolling. We're going to have to take care of them.
I'm so glad. This is ridiculous! Without, like, stepping behind Hicksa, Kao pulls out the holdout blaster that he never checked for some weird reason. He was just totally thinking that Kao was complicit in the not having weapons things.
Or he's just not worried about it. All right, let's roll some initiative.
2 and 1.
All right. And you'll go first. Basically, you have two groups of three.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and true aim with my holdout blaster. I'll roll this many.
Okay. Difficulty is just a 2 because they're in medium range. Well, just wearing some basic armor, so there's no range defense on it because it's just light armor.
That is 2 successes and 3 advantages. I'm going to critically hit one of them.
They're minions. Critical hit takes out one of them automatically.
So 7 altogether.
7. So you take out another one. 2 of the 3 on one side go down. The other 3 continue running up. And Hicksa actually goes next. And you watch as he kind of bends down and then leaps forward. And he leaps pretty fast and runs forward. And he pulls out a fusion cutter. And he is going to attack them with a fusion cutter. And he as well takes out 2 of them. There's 1 on each side. 1's going to fire at you.
I have a ranged defense of 1. I also dodge, so his difficulty is up by 1. I take a point of strain to do so.
All right. And he fails miserably. And actually has 2 threats. So you're going to get a blue die to shoot back at him. The other one's going to shoot at Hicksa. And does just as bad.
So they were still running forward, though? So have they moved in?
Yep.
I am going to actually run directly up to this one. Kao doesn't look like Kao right now. Kao looks like a very angry man. I think the stress of, like, his family being threatened is really frightened him. And he just runs straight towards that guy and just begins firing straight down the barrel. Like, he can see this guy's face. He knows him. And just begins unloading on this guy. No true aim, because he's too upset.
Difficulty is just a 1, because he's now right there.
It's 1 success and 2 advantages. So that's 6 points.
All right. Describe
so
how you take
Kao literally comes straight up on this guy, and they kind of almost collide together. Kao just rage filled at the whole idea. He really, really is just super unhappy with the whole situation. And there's this moment where he, like, the guy almost seems like he's gonna try to run away because, like, he just, like, there's just that moment where he realizes, like, oh my gosh, you know, all of these people are dead. Like, I had 6 people with me, and now it's just me and this other guy who's about to get fusion-cuttered by a droid. And he kind of, like, almost kind of starts to back away, and Kao guns the dude down, like, almost in cold blood.
All right. Hicksa's turn. He's going to try to take out the other one. And he does quite handily. So you guys have dispatched the 6 little minions that were running around here guarding. They were obviously not very well trained. And at the same time, the alarms all of a sudden stop. And you feel the air just come rushing towards you. And you feel the boom from the explosion. I'm going to have you make an athletics check.
How much? How difficult is it?
It's going to start off as a daunting. So we'll start at 4. I'm going to flip over a dark side. So we'll make
you're
one
a terrible,
of those red.
Terrible human being, Chris.
I try hard. And since you were in combat, I'll give you a black die, too.
Good! That is 1 success, 1 threat, and the red one is a despair.
So, Kao's kind of dodging and trying to weave. And as the explosion happens, you kind of get blown back against a wall. And it kind of takes the wind out of you. It doesn't do any real damage. It's just kind of annoying.
Son of a paid Twi'lek!
And the despair as you're starting to move again, the explosion has actually caused a rock slide that's coming down towards you.
Oh, how fortuitous.
Yeah, that'll work. Make an athletics check. Same difficulty as last.
Daunting? Great. That is, so technically a failure because I didn't get any successes or failures. And one advantage.
Kayo, as you're dodging and weaving, since you failed, I'm going to give the rock slide an attack against you. We'll see how it does. All right. Ooh. All right. So we have a triumph.
A what?
And a success as well. And three advantages. So we're going to kick in a little critical here.
Fantastic.
Let me look at the chart. Chart says, maim one limb of your choice. Your right leg gets caught by a rock as it's coming down. You kind of dodge one rock, but don't see the other one behind it, and it smashes your leg in between a rock and part of a mountain. And yeah, and it's a, you know, you got that crunching sound of bone breaking, and you know it's pretty messed up. Yeah, and you're going to take 10 wounds.
Goodness, that's a lot.
Yeah, and it's going to ignore soak because it's crushing damage. As you're going, you notice that Hixa, you know, he's managed to get around, and he's doing pretty well at not getting smashed by the rocks. And you notice that he's actually kind of taken a little spot, a little shelter spot, so to speak, underneath a little rock outcropping, and you see him punching something on his arm, like he's typing on like almost a little data pad. And then a couple minutes later, you see his fire spray ship come flying up to your guys' position.
You couldn't have done that earlier! Oh, you stupid droid! Do something! Do more! Do more! This is hurting a lot! So, like, how do I not have a med pack? What is going on? I am in crazy universe!
Hixa just reaches over, grabs Kayo by the shirt, picks Kayo straight up, and just begins to carry him towards the
Kayo's
ship.
Kayo's in an immense amount of pain now.
Carrying is kind of a nice term. Yeah, there's no kit gloves. He's dragging, carrying towards the ship. He manages to get up to a little rock outcropping, and he manages to get close enough where he tosses Kayo onto the ship and then jumps onto the ship himself and shuts the landing door and walks up towards the cockpit and just says to you,
I will return you to your friends now.
Kayo is in such immense amount of pain. I don't know if he would really do anything. Mostly just cry, sob uncontrollably. Okay, so Kayo tries to drag himself to the doctor.
Yeah, we'll flip on one of these light side points. You manage to drag yourself to the doctor.
And I hand him a plasma cutter. That's the last thing I do.
He manages to free himself. Kayo, you pass out from the pain. A little while later, Kayo, you kind of open your eyes and you're laying on the floor in the cargo hold of the fire spray. And you look up and see, you know, Veranda sitting there. And he's got, you know, an IV in you and he's got bandages and stuff around your leg. And he looks at it and goes, I did my best.
I'm sure you did.
I've never dealt with something that bad. Your
this
leg.
It's pretty bad, huh? Pretty terrible.
Yeah, but I used what parts I could find on
the
ship.
What do you mean parts? Parts.
I may have exaggerated a bit when I said doctors.
What are you?
I'm in school to be a doctor.
God.
Passes out again.
A little while later, you open your eyes again, and he's sitting there, and he's actually notices that you're awake, and he's trying to feed you some broth. He's trying to get you to drink.
Thanks. Oh, God, that hurts. Oh, wait, I can feel things. That's not normal. Wait, I can feel it.
Wait,
this
you
is
can
good.
Feel?
This is good. I can feel it. No, I can't feel it. No.
You can't?
Nothing. Other than, oh, no.
Oh.
Can you wiggle your toes? Can you wiggle them?
No. No, I can't feel anything at all.
Oh. Well, I'll have to try to modify the parts again.
What? What are you talking about?
Kao, like, looks up and realizes that he has a metal leg now and passes out again.
And then you wake up a little while later. I think I got it working now. Can you wiggle your toes now?
Kao's able to move the cybernetic foot around. Pseudo-toes, I suppose.
Hixa said we'll be dropping you off, you know, very soon.
Oh, right! Stupid Hixa! All right, don't you say anything to that robot. Right, listen to me. I've got things to do.
So Kao begins to rummage and begins to try to find pieces of a rifle.
Either perception or mechanics? Trevor's higher.
Perception.
Okay. All right. We'll go hard. Just go 3.
One singular success.
Okay. You're able to put together a reel. It's not the best. It may not be the most accurate. Maybe not be as powerful as you're used to, but it'll fire a few times at least.
Sweet.
A little while later, you hear Hixa walking down towards where you guys are. He looks up.
You're awake.
Yes, I'm awake. Thanks for your vote of confidence.
Well, I was confident that my new doctor would keep you alive.
He did do that.
As he's talking, you notice that Vrand moves himself behind you a little bit. He's trying to keep you in between him and Hixa.
Right. Good. Yeah. Right. I'm expendable.
Hixa just looks at you.
We'll be landing on Naos 3 in 8 hours. You can depart there. You'll get there roughly the same time Cantor's brother and the pirates will be there.
Hixa, you son of a... You know what? I am going to kill you. I'm going to find you, and I'm going to murder you. Not today. Not tomorrow. And I know droids have no real sense of fear. But remember this in your data banks. I am going to kill you.
And then the camera fades out as Kao is having that little speech. And the camera comes back up to Kao standing there in front of A1.
And that is more or less what happened.
Okay. So that explains why your leg is not very good.
It explains why I have a robot leg, yes.
So, also explains why Corel couldn't do much to fix it.
Correct. It is kind of a patch job.
So can I fix it now? Or improve it?
Sure, little buddy. Sure.
Excellent. And he rolls over towards your table, and he gets and he turns around. The doctor will see you now. Camera pans over to Tazi and A1 in the cockpit as the ship is coming out of hyperspace over the moon.
Tazi starts awake, like the shudder of the ship causes him to wake up. looks like we're here, bud.
Sensors show the moon looks pretty desolate. Lots of craters, like impact craters.
Do we have any coordinates or?
Yeah, and he pulls them up on the screen for you. And it looks like the coordinates go pretty much in the middle of what looks like a large battlefield. And not just a battlefield, but looks more like a planet-wide bombardment.
As in, like, one had occurred there?
Yep.
Or one is going on right now?
No. This is old.
Well, I'll put her down nearby. I'll try and find somewhere safe to land. See if you can pull something up. Can we get a topographic map, or do we need to get closer?
I get you what I can. And he pulls up roughly what the scanners show you. And the scanners are nice because they're new. So it's in 3D.
Wow, that's really sharp.
Thank you.
Well, no, I mean, it looks good, but I'm pretty sure that you didn't actually do the work here. It's the sensors. They're the new ones, right? The ones that Mom got for the ship?
Yep. But I helped put them in, remember? Yeah, I helped. I mean, I didn't. I helped do it. I mean, I didn't have Zeke double-check my work, but I helped.
Are you going to let that go?
What go?
That thing. The Zeke thing. Are you going to let that go?
Maybe. Should I?
I mean, I do. I think you should let it go. I think it's just going to bother you if you keep, like, holding on to it.
I'll try.
Look, I'm not a fan of the guy either, but he's here. He's Corell's responsibility. We just have to let this play out.
All right. We'll do. I think we should land. And he points on one of the maps right about there. That looks good.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Tazi gets on the comm and just kind of announces, preparing to land, guys. Might be a little rough. Try and belt in. Sit down. Whatever you're going to do so you don't get injured.
You can hear footsteps in the hall behind you as obviously Corell is on their way in. And just before you start hitting atmosphere, she slips into the co-pilot seat and belts in. What happened there?
It looks like a lot of bombs went off.
Your comms kind of pop up and it's KO in the gunnery pod.
Did you guys notice that, like, the planet looks like it's blown up?
Yeah, there's a lot of impact craters. It's kind of an old site, though.
Yeah. We're going to try and land in a clearing. The coordinates that we got from Isla's pad kind of point this way, so...
Is that dot where we're landing? That's, like, at the edge of a crater.
Well, I'm not going to put it on the edge. I'm going to try and put it near the edge. How about that?
Well, that's a little bit better.
All right, I'll try not to land it sideways.
Kao, make a average warfare check. So just two.
Okie dokie. One success and four advantages.
Okay. You can tell as you get closer that this planet was hit by a large-scale attack. Probably, you're guessing, roughly a decade ago, because you can start to see some of the plant life coming back. But as far as you can tell, there's not much life left other than the plants.
All right.
So, I'm taking a stab at the dark here, but it looks like this is maybe a decade old, and looks like it was actually a nuclear attack. I'm not really super positive all the details, obviously, but it's a pretty bad thing.
Yeah, A1, does this thing have radiation sensors on it now?
Yeah.
Can you overlay the current rad levels?
Sure. All looks clear.
Does it...
Ah! Isla!
Sorry!
Sorry, I didn't know you got a comm. I'm sorry, yes. I just... A little jumpy. Weird voices coming out of nowhere.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. I wasn't expecting you.
I just wanted to ask if maybe that all that damage is fake? To keep people away from the world? I mean, if it's a luxury... Mune moon for whatever, wouldn't you not want it to look appealing?
That's a fair point, actually, so.
But it doesn't look appealing. It looks barren.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess if you're trying to hide a pleasure moon, then yes, this would be a good cover.
I don't know, do people hide pleasure moons?
I wouldn't think so.
The first one I've been to?
Well, I mean, if I were to have, a Mune Moon Pleasure Moon with Mune on it.
Wouldn't it be a Pleasure Mune Moon?
I'm just saying, if I had
that... Or a Mune Pleasure Moon.
Well, I'm just saying, if I had something like that, hidden into the darkness, I probably wouldn't, want people to be like, oh, yeah, there's the Pleasure Moon, that's right? You don't want to be like, oh, yeah, totally that place.
So, are we theorizing that that is actually just some sort of, like, hollow camouflage covering the actual real moon?
Or they just put it, like, underneath the crust.
Well, we're going to find out pretty soon here, guys. We're landing in just a few here, so.
All right. Well, I'm strapped in and ready.
Okay. Tazi, make an average piloting check. Just a two.
That is four successes. And one threat.
Okay. You land it just fine. A little unfamiliar with the new controls, so you end up kind of pushing the system a little harder than you normally would have as you're trying to figure out where all the new buttons and dials are. But you land it pretty smooth.
Maybe the threat is that I've landed a little too close to the crater, so one of the landing gear isn't necessarily completely flat to the ground.
Okay. That'll work.
All right, is the atmosphere breathable?
Yep. Yep, you guys open up the landing ramp and head down. Who's all going?
I'm going.
Corell's got her, like, full, like, hostile, hostile gear on, so electrostaff, blaster, leathers, everything.
OK.
Isla will take a vibra sword that she found on board.
Okay.
Where did you get that?
Zeke pointed it out to me.
Huh.
Moon Moon.
Yep. As you guys are going down the landing ramp, Isla, you start having strong feelings of familiarity and that you have been here before. And I'm going to flip one of these dark side points over.
Oh, yay.
And you actually get to a spot as you're walking, and you have this flashback of yourself landing a ship here. And there was a large mansion out front with a large arena built on the side of it. And you were in charge of unloading several crates off of this ship. And you can hear different animal sounds coming from those crates. And you see a large Mune walk up, and he thanks you for the delivery. And you bow and say, "My pleasure, master." And then you kind of come out of your flashback.
No, this isn't how it's supposed to look.
Well, no, I mean, there's definitely craters here. It's not like some sort of hollow illusion.
There was a large mansion and an arena, and there was a Mune in charge of it all. I remember this.
I'm sure that stuff was here. I mean, this bombardment, this landscape. I don't know if it a decade old. Wasn't that what Kao said? Like a decade or so.
A1, can you check the soil samples to see if it's been irradiated or if, you know, how long it's been kind of like this?
Yeah. A1 rolls off the ship and takes some samples, and it's pretty rough for him to get the samples because it's very rocky. After a little while, he comes up. Looks like this was hit by a nuclear attack about 11 years ago.
But why would someone attack a pleasure Mune Moon? I guess they didn't find it very amusing.
You've been spending too much time with Kao.
That was not good.
Oh.
I mean, it was a good effort, but no.
We are not amused.
Oh no. Okay. We're gonna nip this in the bud right now.
Sorry. I guess you're all immune to my humor.
I'll be right back.
Okay, wait. Didn't think it was that bad.
Is there anything I can roll to try and see if I can remember anything else?
You can make a perception check. Just make an average perception check.
3 advantages.
As you're kind of walking around, you can see the ruins of part of the mansion, and you can kind of get an idea of the outline of where the mansion was and where the arena was, and you start to get a very strong feeling that you're being kind of pulled towards the arena. Almost like it's calling to you, but you don't actually hear a voice. You know how you get that feeling of, I need to go this way?
All right, I was here, the mansion was over there, the arena's over here. There's something about the arena.
Well, let's go check it out. A1, is there any, like, energy readings or anything around here? Radio signals?
No, not that I can see.
Something had to be here to receive the message, though. Unless there was a ship here and they left. But
probably. It's like,
where? Lead on. I'll go with you.
Well, we'll all go. We're not gonna let you two go by yourselves.
Oh, hang on, Zeke.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
Okay. Watch the ship while we're gone. Okay.
Okay.
Don't let anybody but us back on.
Got it.
A1, why don't you stay behind if you don't mind?
I was already planning on it.
Very good.
Well, I thought we'd need A1's expertise in case we came across, you know, computers or locked doors, if there's some sort of underground bunker.
We may, but he can do a lot of that from the new sensor suite on the ship.
All right. You're going to carry him if you have to go back and get him and lift him over all the rocks. Just saying.
Isla has been walking towards the arena.
Girl turns and, like, gets into a jog to try and catch up to her.
Okay. A1 rolls back up on the ship.
Tazi will pop back up on the ship and offload the speeder.
Okay.
They've already taken off, so Tazi will kind of catch up with them real quick and kind of honk.
Oh, yes. Speeder, that's a good idea.
This may be a little quicker.
Yes, this place was huge.
Corell hops into the pack.
Okay. You guys take the speeder up to where the arena was. Everybody make a perception check. Difficulty on this one's just going to be a 1.
Aw, man.
1 success, 1 advantage.
4 advantages.
4 advantages, 2 successes, and a triumph.
Okay. Tazi and Corell, you guys both see in one corner of the arena, the one that's farthest from where the ship is, it looks as though somebody has unburied a section, and you can see a small tunnel heading down. Corell, you can clearly see that somebody else brought a speeder in here and used some tow cables to actually pull away some rocks, and you can see the direction that they actually took off. It's in a direction that's up on one of the other craters.
Okay, so there's an exit path.
Yep. And you can tell it's been a couple days since somebody's been here. And then Isla, with your advantages, you start looking around what used to be the arena floor that you can remember, and you start kind of almost hearing a crowd cheering, and you can see some enormous lizard that was being battled by several different species on the floor of this arena.
Corell leans up between Isla and Tazi and points to the ramp, and it's like, okay, it looks like somebody's used something to clear a path. There's another way up and out on the other side. Do you see that over there? And she points to for Tazi.
I mean, I see something, but everything's so flat and featureless. I mean, it could be a ramp. It could be a formation from an explosion. It's hard to say.
Yeah, but there's actually a clear line. You can see where things have been, like rocks have been dragged.
Well, that's the area where the large animals came from.
We can go check it out, sure.
They fought huge animals here.
You just point me where you want to go, and I'll drive us there.
Corell?
Well, we can check out the tunnel first, but I'm just pointing that there's another way out, too. Somebody's been here. So let's go see what's there, and then we'll follow the trail if we decide nothing's here.
Okay.
You guys find the path, and it's very obvious that it leads down, and you can kind of see the remnants of what used to be an old hallway, and you can tell that this was a path that must have led to someplace underneath the arena. So you guys look at the tunnel. To get in the tunnel, you guys are going to have to get out of the speeder. You guys could follow the path down. It's going to be about 20-30 minutes of walking through some rough areas. There's spots where, Tazi especially is going to have to duck and kind of squeeze through. Those that are shorter don't have as much problem. And eventually you guys get down to a spot that opens up, and it looks to be the remnants of an old laboratory. And in the laboratory, you see a hollow emitter just sitting on the floor.
Carl's going to kind of circle around the lab looking for anything out of the ordinary. Does there seem to be power in here and lights?
No, just what you guys brought in.
Isla goes right for the hollow projector.
Okay.
Wait, don't touch that.
And too late. I flip over dark side point. Isla touches it just as you say that, and the hollow emitter turns on, and you see a
oh no
human appear. He's kind of thin, has no hair that you can see, no eyebrows even. His smiles, and you can see his teeth have been sharpened to points, and he says,
"Ah, Miss Zarla, returning to the last place you saw our master."
Hey everybody, it's Chris. Just letting you know, November 10th, 11th, and 12th, I will be at Acadacon in Dayton, Ohio. It's an awesome event. I know myself, Friday, I plan on running a Feng Shui 2 game based on the synergy session that I did with Michael from the RPG Academy. Then Friday night, the Redemption is doing a in-character Q&A panel. Saturday, I will be running a Star Wars game. Then Saturday evening, I'm going to be running a secret special Star Wars game with some very cool people. If you haven't got tickets and you'd like to come out, jump on Eventbrite, a Catacon. We still have tickets available, and I hope to see you there.
Tweets from the Dark Side.
Chris, has the merchant on Tula restocked the Furline Hut bras yet?
Yes.
All right.
Phew.
Good to know. Richard,
apparently I have a feeling that's from the Grand Con episode. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
There was an Ugnat that was obsessed with Hut lingerie.
Wow.
I thought the Hut was a crossdresser.
That too.
Okay.
And finally, our final question from Richard.
Oh!
And from everybody.
New!
Has the snuggling compartment been outfitted with comfy pillows and blankets for maximum snuggling atmosphere?
I believe Corell should answer that question.
The answer is yes. And these people are trying to tear it down. So, if
what
you
do
would
you
like
mean,
to
see, these people?
I think you should quickly take the social media and use the hashtag Save the Snuggle Pod.
Oh, sweet lord.
Point of order. Not a human or a person.
Oh, now you...
If you want the crowd's fang to have a distillery, use the hashtag on Twitter. Please use Tazi Needs Booze.
Now we could...
Booze, B-O-O-Z-E. Not what that may have sounded like.
No. So it's going to be hashtag distill the fang. Either one will work. Just
I like
that
my
when...
chances because they're making it more difficult.
Yeah, you're making this is making this a lot harder.
Actually, what is it? Tazi wants booze. What does that even mean?
I would like to point out that Tazi has booze. Tazi wears booze around with him, and he always forgets he has booze. He literally sits on his booze.
I want to make sure we're emphasizing booze. B-O-O-Z.
So with a Z, he drinks. It's a golden liquid. It's not what you think it is, people.
What? Booze.
Yes, booze.
Alcohol.
Bzzz.
Oh, it's like a honey mead.
All right, yeah, that's
fine.
It
has to do with bees.
Yes, all right. That was it for me.
That's all the questions we had, so thank you very much.
Ask more questions to at Redemption Pod on Twitter anytime you want to know more about the crew.
Cool. Thank you, everybody. This episode's Patreon backer is James. James, thank you so much for your support. It really means a lot to us.
Redemption is played using the Star Wars role-playing game system by Fantasy Flight Games and LucasBooks. You can find us on social media, Facebook and Twitter, at Redemption Pod, and Instagram, at Redemption Podcast, and our website, redemptionpodcast.com. Please leave us a review on iTunes or any other thing that you use to listen to us. It really does help us, helps people find us, and it makes us feel really good about ourselves. So I like to be, feel good. You know, you do. Wink. And if you like us, please consider our Patreon, patreon.com/redemption. It's we don't need it, but we love it. We appreciate it. We want to do this, and we love you for everything you do.
I love